give that praise to the Lord. Amen. I'm not used to one of these. In fact, I'm not used to this many faces looking back at me. This is a huge crowd here today. Amen. Amen. I was raised up in Hood River, Oregon. That's where the Lord saw fit to take me in. You know, some of you are wondering, what's that guy doing up there? I felt this before. I felt, what am I doing up here? Well, don't you know, I didn't get here by myself. I had some good men in my life. I had a senior pastor, Sirstead, that was an awesome man. I'm standing here because that man preached hard enough to save my soul. He, when I walked into his church, and I parked my Harley out front and had long hair and my leathers on and went in there with my arm around my niece. And I wasn't scared of no church. And went in there and I just acted my fool self. And, you know, they still preached. The Lord is merciful. He reached down and he started massaging my heart and softening this ground up. Brother Sirstead wasn't worried about losing me because I was already lost. He was worried about saving me. See, we don't really care how they come in the door. We care how they leave. Amen? Amen. I give honor to Pastor Eddie, who's now the pastor at Hood River. He put a lot of time in me, a lot of education in me. And you know, I'm not standing here out from underneath authority today. I have good men over me here. You see, a man cannot stand by himself. I'm so thankful to have my bishop over here, Brother Parrish, and Brother Blackshear, and good friends like Brother Churchill, and my pastor, Brother Glover. And without these guys' support, it'd be pretty tough. And I just want to let them all know I love you very much. Brother Parrish came up there, and he spent a week up there also. And I was a little bit concerned about the district superintendent coming to a cabin in the middle of nowhere with plywood walls and plywood floors. And he told me that's the only time he's ever been to a bathroom with a curtain on it. But, you know, he loved me. He loved when I took him to the airport when he left. It was a remarkable feeling because when the plane left the runway and took off, it felt like a part of me was leaving with him. He's a lover of men, and we got to be a lover of men. I thank God for Sister Churchill and the effort of the outreach and the children's ministry. What a blessing he was to us. What an awesome thing to give to. Amen. I got lots of things to say and to thank people for. But if it's okay with you, I'm just going to get into the Word. I'm just going to read a scripture and we're going to go on. Ecclesiastes 11. I don't know whether I'll need these or not. I might. Verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is in the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all. In the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. I'd like to talk to us this morning a little bit about casting thy bread. Lord, we love you today. We come here, Lord God, expecting God, you to give us some bread today. And God, I would ask you, Lord, that every word that comes out of my mouth will be edifying to your church. I am nothing without you, Jesus. I need you. I'm asking for your anointing, for your help, for your guidance. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And after you shake somebody's hand, you can be seated. Casting our bread. Jesus says in John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life. You see, I had to learn that. I wasn't born on a Pentecostal pew. I did come to a Pentecostal church when I was 5 years old, the French's church right here. And I thank that church, and I thank the French's, and I thank the people that prayed for that little boy that they never seen again for 32 years. I thank them for that. But I had to learn that Jesus was the bread of life. You see, the generation before I grew up was the hippie generation. I know I look old. Sometimes I feel old. But you know what? I'm not old. I'm young in the Lord. I'm 20 years old in the Lord. I'm a young man in the Lord. Amen. Amen. And I want to tell you something else. Liars ain't going to go to heaven. So I'm not going to lie to you today because I want to go to heaven. I'm being serious. I'm not lying to you today. I believe the Lord told me to do something that is out of the ordinary. I've never done this before. After last night's service, I felt a little break. If I can do anything, I would like to be able to tell you and tell him that when I hear him, I do what he says to the best of my ability. So the generation before me was a hippie generation. And you remember that generation, don't you, Brother Churchill? And, you know, they had another word for bread, another meaning for bread. And sometimes in my mind and others' mind, we get this when we talk about casting bread, about this stuff. Now there ain't much here, just a little bit of bread. And I'm telling you that I was sitting at Denny's in Fairbanks eating by myself, and the Lord told me to do this, so I'm gonna. We are concerned about our bread. Too bad these are just $1 bills. Some of them may fall on the floor. God, casting our bread. Sometimes when we hear this voice that talks to us about doing things for the Lord, one of the first things we think about is how much bread is it going to cost? I wonder how many ministries that that stopped. I wonder how many things that God is trying to do with us that has stopped because of this bread. Man, that guy's walking on bread up there. Let me tell you something. I got a vision. I got a vision. If we can't walk on this stuff down here, how are we going to walk on streets of gold up there? If we elevate this stuff, so if it becomes our priority, I'm telling you, when you're 54 years old and you get called to sell your home and to go to a place and you don't even know if you can buy a home and you don't know how you're going to afford this and you feel like you ought to buy a plane and you don't know how you're going to afford that and you're worried about bread. But Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. He says, I'm going to make the way. I am the way and the life. I was sitting in the loader at Red Dog Mine, and I asked him, because I had some counsel on this, some counsel not to come up here, some counsel not to sell my home because of this bread. And I was concerned because I respected the man that I was getting the counsel from. And man, that's your future. That home's your retirement. And gets me to thinking about this bread. So I was disturbed, and I was thinking about my wife. What about my wife? What am I going to do for her? How am I going to provide? I'm an old man. Am I going to go up there and start over again and all this stuff? And so this bread thing was bugging me. And so I asked the Lord, what about my retirement? What? I don't know. I hope I die praising God. I mean, old man can have a heart attack praising the Lord. What a way to go. What a way to go. I'm sorry that all you would have to put up with that, but, just leave me there. Just praise around me. Don't stop the service. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just drag me over in a corner somewhere and leave me there. Don't call the ambulance right then. Don't stop the music. Man, I'm on my way. I'm out of here. I'll see y'all up there. Don't worry about that. Amen. But I asked the Lord, what about my retirement? And so I read my Bible every day. And so I read my Bible. And Brother Churchett, I found this scripture. I read my Bible many times. But I found out where the Lord said, Levites don't get no inheritance. They don't get no land. You know what he said? He says, I'm their inheritance. Oh. Let me tell you what. He's my inheritance. He's my retirement. If I'm always thinking about this stuff and how I'm going to afford things, we're going to build some buildings. I don't know how it's going to happen. I just got the vision. I've been told it's going to happen. I know it's coming. I don't know how it's going to get paid for. I heard a man preach one time. And he said, if the Lord is big enough to call, he's big enough to write the check. Come on now. If he's big enough to call, he's big enough to get behind you. He's big enough to help you. Hallelujah. Praise God. But yet we're worried about this bread. Worried about this bread. And Brother Parrish, this is all offering, by the way. So we'll pick it up later. This ain't mine. You got to understand, when I come to him, man, I was broke. I had nothing but a bunch of bad habits and a bad attitude and long hair. And man, what would he want with anybody like me? stubborn, bullheaded. Can I get an amen? You think God can't use somebody that's stubborn and bullheaded? If he can get that mind turned the right direction, you know what, and focused on the right things, and get bullheaded and for Jesus now, oh, hallelujah. You see, Jesus tells us that we can't have two masters. This money thrown on the altar here last night, that wasn't the first time I'd seen that. I seen Brother Klein just do that. I seen people get healed. I seen thousands of dollars. That's why I was so anxious to get down here and get in whatever I had in my pocket, because I knew the results. You see, when I come into this place Tuesday, I come out of the plane, I went to the mall bathroom, put on what I thought was decent clothes, and I had a knee brace on. And when I got out of my sister's car out there, I took the knee brace off, and I come in here. I don't need it in here. The very first worship song was about healing. Now, I was way back there. Brother Parrish hadn't come and corralled me yet. I was back there, and I just put my hand on my knee and prayed and asked God to touch it. You see, he and I got a deal. This is the deal. The deal is, he keeps me healthy, I worship him. As long as his body can move. See, I seen Brother Scott years ago come to Hood River, and I watched him. He died a couple years later. He went and come up to the platform steps, and they called him up, and he came up like this. And he come real slow. And when he got up there, he looks at us and grins, and he says, "I'm moving slow on the outside, but I'm jumping on the inside." And you know, I made up my mind right then that I knew that man wanted to jump. He wanted to be praising God. And I told God then, you know what? As long as you give me the strength, as long as I can walk, as long as I can jump, as long as I can spin, hallelujah, I'm going to do it for you. And we all deal with this thing. We think, well, everybody's going to think we're just trying to show off. Does anybody else hear them kind of voices? Does anybody else get that kind of stuff where they go, "Well, you're just doing this for you"? Let me tell you what. The Bible tells us, Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." So what voice are you listening to? No voice is going to tell you to worship God. No voice that's against the kingdom of God is going to stop you from worshiping him. No voice is going to stop you from witnessing for him at school, at work. No. This voice that's telling you to go and to do something, to cast your bread on the water, that's for the kingdom of God. You can trust that voice. Now, these Pharisees, everybody go, "Ooh." We're listening to Jesus teach about manna, and they overheard this, and the Bible says they were covetous. My. So, they heard these things, and he said to them, "You're they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." And he was talking about money. He was talking about their covetousness. Let me tell you what, when you're broke and you owe a lot of money, you can get covetous. I wasn't going to come this year because of the lack of funds. I wasn't going to come this year. And I pray, Lord knows I wanted to be here. But you know what? Things are just tight. And in fact, my wife's only going to take one trip down to Oregon to see her grandkids, who she left to come up and be up here at this ministry. And it's a sacrifice. And so, you know what, we decided, well, we're not going to go to camp. We're going to just, she's going to go, I'm going to go back to work. I need to be to work. And you know, man, I just feel grieved in my heart because I need this. I need to be here. Hallelujah. So, you know what, I got stuck at Red Dog, and I worked a few extra days and got a few extra coins. And when I got home at Red Dog, here was this text from my superintendent, and I thought, whoa, maybe I ought to go. If that's Jesus, tell him I'll be done here in just a little bit. I'll be right with him. I love that. A pastor's phone rang one time, and he says, hello? God? But anyway, make a long story short, it was a battle like it is if you're fighting your mind and fighting the enemy of your soul, doesn't want you here. See, he don't want you here. He don't want me here. Okay? And a lot of times it has to do with this stuff right here. Can't afford it. Let me tell you what, you can't afford to miss this place. You can't afford to miss this place. The Lord speaks to me sometimes. Does he speak to anybody else? I've heard that every time God speaks, people fall on their face. And I see that in Scripture. Amen. And I believe there's a place for reverencing God. And I believe that right down here is the place for it. We're bowing. That's true worship. We're bowing to Him. But I also read in Scripture where He speaks to men and says, there's going to be four guys come to the door down there in a little bit. Go with them. So He speaks to us. He talks to us. And He really wants us to do what He says. But what we're fighting this casting bread thing. Hallelujah. Another Ecclesiastic scripture here. 3:1, to everything there's a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. Time to be born. Time to die. Time to plant. Time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill. Time to heal. Time to break down. Time to build up. Time to weep. Time to laugh. Time to mourn. Time to dance. And there's a time to cast bread. He says, cast thy bread upon the water. So when we can get past this, then we got to get past this. Because then we got this fear of casting bread, of witnessing to somebody. I come to share with you a little bit today about how all this got started and how the Lord will speak to you to do crazy things. I've been doing crazy things all my life. In 1994, I was with the Hell's Angel World Run in San Francisco. I was riding with them guys going through the streets of San Francisco with the cops holding back other traffic because there's a snake going through town. I've water skipped snow machines. I've slid down hills backwards on a semi-truck. I've done many crazy, stupid things. I went to Norvik. We had a little revival there, and we got some people got baptized, got the Holy Ghost, amen. And I got this call, and we're going to go to Kiana. So we're going to go up there, and all of a sudden it starts raining, and it's been melting, and the river ain't good. And, man, I got this urge to take my baptismal tank, and oh, man, it's like, let's get it backed up. So I got it packed up, and I got it in the tarp, and I got it in the sled, and, man, it's warming up, and can't hardly stand to have my coat on, and water's coming down, and the young man is going to go with me. I said, well, send him on a little errand or something so I could talk to the Lord. I went out there and says, Lord, do I really need to take this baptismal tank? It's raining. Can you see it's raining out here? It's warm out here. It's dangerous. You know, I heard that voice again. You know what he said? Can't use it unless you take it. Pretty deep, huh? At this time, I didn't even have a Bible study set up. I had a cup of coffee. I was going for coffee, but I was taking my baptismal tank. Crazy. Well, we went up to Kiana, And we're going through, I'm out of that hole. Oh man. And this is earlier in the day. This is getting warmer. It's starting to rain harder. So we get there, and I'm thinking, man, I got to get back. If I don't get back, I'm going to have to hire a plane, a charter a plane, and here goes all this bread. All right. So I get there, you know, and I said, well, I'm not wasting any time here. I went to the people's house I was going to, and they welcomed me, and I didn't even pull off my winter gear. And I asked this lady, I said, Nellie, I said, I'm a little forward. And she goes, all right. I said, I come to give Bible study. I'm just curious if anybody's interested. And she said, yes, I'm interested. So I took off my winter gear. That night, we baptized 8, and I think 4 got the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the next day, we're leaving. Brother David here's got another group of people back in Norvik to be baptized, so I got to get my baptismal tank and the stone machines. And the George, the guy that was riding with me, he went out to check the river, and he didn't come back. And I'm thinking, oh, no. And this other man I was talking to, he said, I've been here 55 years, and you ain't riding to Norvik today. Well, I'm going, okay, bread. Here goes bread. It's been bread. Just about out of this stuff, so I won't have to worry about it no more. Bread. In fact, you might as well just take it all and throw it. It ain't no good. George come back, and he says, Brother Hardy says, I think I can make it pulling a sled. He says, but you're going to have to ride this 1,000. And I said, okay, I can do that. And so I got on this 1,000, this Articat 1,000 that had won the race. It's got these air shocks on it and all this fancy stuff. If you can hang on to that throttle wide open for 15 seconds, you're a better man than me. This thing is bad. I mean, but you know what I found out about that? I found out that it goes better on water than it did to snow. I come to this place, and I'm going pretty fast because it's soft, and all of a sudden here's this water in front of me, and it's like straight ahead, and I'll close my eyes, pull the trigger, you know. Wow, man, boy, this thing just like settles down. And I thought, this is kind of fun. This is all right. This is a blast. And so I kind of was looking for the next spot. So the next spot comes up, and I kind of go, well, let's just get out there a little further. We're clipping along, and I'm going, wow, man, you can hold that thing wide open in the water for a while. And I don't know, I'll have to ask David how fast it'll go in the water like that, but you're clipping along. But I had that voice come to me again, Brother Churchill. He said, every crazy and stupid thing you've done in your life has prepared you for this ministry. I wasn't afraid of it. And as soon as God can convince us that we can trust Him, won't be afraid of it. Won't be afraid of the calling. Won't be afraid of the going. Oh, come on now, somebody. You know, this thing, I know some of you folks really feel sorry for Lisa and I up way up there. Keep praying for us. But I want you to know something. I live in paradise. My wife lives in paradise. If you are where God has called you, you live in paradise, friend. If you're winning souls, the cold weather ain't nothing. The house you're living in ain't nothing. Hallelujah. If God's work is being done and you're laying your hands on people and they're getting the Holy Ghost, oh, it doesn't matter where you're at. Even if it costs a little bread. I got a kick out of Sister Churchill when she said, when she moved to Alaska, that she was told, don't look at those chicken prices. You literally got to do that at Kiana. These voices, voices that come. I had one come last night when I was up here. I'm trying to be respectful. I'm someplace I've never been before. You don't know what it's like for a guy that's come where I come to get invited up to sit with these guys. I'm trying to control myself. I'm trying to not embarrass my superintendent. Oh, come on, that's a real fear. I want him to continue to love me. The night before, when Brother Glover said he wanted us to get with it, he said, tell somebody to get with it. Brother Churchill looked at me and he said, get with it. And I said, can I? Last night, when a word God can do anything song, come along, you know what? I hear that voice said, you said you would worship me. I don't mean this disrespectful. You guys got to understand my heartbeat. We got people from St. Louis up there. We got people from Chicago up there. I got men that I want them to look at me and pat me on the back and say, good job, Brother Farmer. Keep going. We're praying for you. I don't want to embarrass him, guys, but I got to worship God. I got to worship God. He's the one. He's the one that can do anything. He can fix your problem. He can heal your body. He can fix this bread issue. Hallelujah. I see in Scripture here in the book of Acts where the Lord spoke to this guy. And I often wondered why he didn't call Peter for the job or one of them 11 or 12 or the closest ones. I wondered why he called Ananias. You ever wonder that? Why did he call that? Now, I'm not the Bible scholar these guys are. So, you know, I just look and I just read and I try to study, but I don't see anywhere where this guy was a pastor. I just see a guy that heard a voice. He was praying. He was trying to do the right thing. And the Lord says, hey. Oh, I do see he saw the Lord in a vision. Ooh. Say that with me. Ooh. We're talking about dreamers at night. Was that preaching good or what? Is that good stuff? Amen. So he saw the Lord in a vision, and Ananias, and here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Lead me, Lord. Yeah, I'll follow. I'll go. As long as it ain't too cold and don't cost me too much bread. I'll follow. Boy, I got in trouble singing that song because I really meant it. You know, I'd go anywhere. I'm thankful he called me here. I feel like God can do something with me here because I just won't work in every environment. But I'll work where God puts me. Amen. Ananias, he says, the Lord says to him, arise and go. Ananias says, whoa, wait a minute. Don't you know who this guy is? Lord says, yeah, but you know, I've already been talking to him. See, he's praying right now. While I'm calling you to go, I got people waiting on you. What about Moses? What about Moses? Where Moses is out there, he's feeling rejected. He's feeling strung out. You know, he's minding the sheep, and here's this burning bush, right? Okay, so here's this guy. I think I'll see why that thing ain't burning up. What's the first thing the Lord do to him? Say, hey, man, I got a great job for you. No, he says, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. The first thing that happens is he gets instruction. Then he argues with God because God don't know what he's doing. The Lord's got how many thousand people waiting for deliverance, and he's arguing with one man. One man is holding up revival. Come on, you can do this. I got that talk. Well, I'll have your brother do the talking. You know, Moses is used to leaning on that staff. So what's the Lord do for him? He says, well, let me show you what you're trusting. Let me show you what you're leaning on. It's got a snake in it. We trust things that we think are solid and are firm ground, and it has to do with this stuff that I'm standing on up here. You know what? We don't want to lose any of that. We're going to retire. We're going to have something to live on with our old age. I don't know about you, but I ain't planning on living here for the rest of eternity. So we know the story about him. But Ananias went to Brother Saul. And I want you to recognize something in the scripture. The first thing he did was run in there and lay hands on him. He didn't ask me if I can pray for you. He says, I didn't say, how you doing? Have you heard from the Lord? He went in and put, some things you just need to get your hands on. Some things you just need to walk through the door and take control over. He's been preaching about this at night. Amen. And what did this guy, as far as I know, he just won one soul. One soul. But who did he win? Somebody that evangelized the world. You know, I really don't think that we know where we live. How many of you live here in Kenai? In Sterling, Seldotten area here. You know, do you realize that you live in some of the most prime fishing country in the world? People come from all over the world here to catch some king salmon. There's a hole out here down from Moose River that's named after my dad. He was into that. Have you ever thought about how many people live here and don't fish? Have you thought about that, or how many people live in the very best of the best and they don't fish? Why? Well, maybe they went fishing one time as a kid and all they caught was a sucker fish and their dad threw it back. So, you know what? I ain't going fishing no more. Dad wouldn't let me keep it. It was ugly. But here they are in the prime fishing ground and never go fishing. I wonder how many of us have won a soul and it didn't turn out right. And you went fishing one time and you feel like maybe the Father threw it back. And you're just not going fishing anymore. But you're living in the best fishing in the world. If you're living for God, the fields are white, friend. They're all around you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to recognize that not all of them are keepers. It ain't our job to keep. It's our job to sow. We're the sowers of the seed. You know what? We bait the hook and we get the bread and we cast the bread, hallelujah, on the waters. And you know, it looks like we're just throwing it away, but the Bible says it will return. It will. Now there's, I don't know how long-winded I've been up here. Brother Parrish, you just wave when you think I'm done. You know what? I see in Scripture here, I listened to Brother Jones. And he preached a message about this, what was the title of it? The Worst Preacher Ever. Have you guys heard that? The Sorriest Preacher Ever. Boy, I just felt a breath of freedom right there. You guys haven't heard this. But this is Brother Jones. He's, you know who he's talking about? He's talking about Jonah. He's the worst preacher ever. Look at this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry against it, for the wickedness come up before me. And there's this three-letter word that I really hate. But. Do you like that one? I like you, but. But this preacher, he rose up and the Bible says he fled to Tarshish. But the Bible also says from the presence of the Lord. We're asking, Lord, send us, call us, Lord, make me a soul winner, do what you got to do. And when we get the call, it's like, nope. Ain't going there. Interesting stuff here. He goes on, he jumps on a ship, right? The Bible says he paid his own fare. See, he's willing to spend his bread to get away from the presence of God, but not spend his bread to go to the presence of God. Cast your bread upon the waters. This sorriest preacher that ever walked, man. You know the story. He got swallowed up. Bible says the Lord prepared a trial for him. Now, Brother Jones said something I never thought about, because I've heard this preached many times, just like you all. And we know that Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, and he had seaweed all over him, and boy, you can get the vision of the slime and everything. And he's down there praying for 3 days, and the whale pukes him up on the bank, you know. Brother Jones says, you can believe what you want to believe, but I believe that he died. That triggers something in my ear, you know. I appear, yeah, well, Jesus said, just like Jonah, and Jesus died, and 3 days in the grave. You know, I believe Jonah had to die. I believe we have to die. That's what that repentance thing is for. If we're running from God, friend, you got to die. If we're not listening to that voice, friend, you got to die. And if you don't die on your own, pay your own fare, and get to this altar and die, you're going to be in a trial. You're going to be going through some things. But you will come to the Lord. He chose you. He chose Jonah. And when Jonah got puked up, you know, and he said, okay, whatever you want, you read the message, and God didn't change his mind. He didn't change his mind on the message. He didn't change his mind where he was sending him. He didn't change his mind on who he called. So what happened? This sorry preacher, he went on to Nineveh, and he preached one message. You better repent. 40 days. Boom. And get what happened? He had revival. 1,000. And he got upset about that. And here's the thought. If God can use somebody that's running from his presence, stand with me. If God can use somebody that's running from him, that's fleeing from him, that's not preaching love and mercy and grace and power and Holy Ghost and holy living and teaching us how to live right. If God can use somebody that's not really wanting to be there, what can he do with somebody that wants to be there? What can he do with somebody that wants to win souls? What can he do with somebody that's not afraid of getting out on the limb? Well, you know, I'm a pretty heavy guy. Kind of scary, huh? Hey, I heard that Jesus was called a branch. I also heard that the fruit was on the limb. What are you going to do? Get out, shake the tree? Try to get the fruit to fall on your head? Get out on the limb. Who are you standing on? Who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in this stuff? You better learn how to walk on this stuff. If you're going to walk on the streets of gold, friend, you're going to have to learn what this stuff is for. This stuff is for using for the kingdom of God. This stuff is used to walk on down here. It's to get us from one place to another place so we can cast the real bread, so we can cast Jesus, hallelujah, and cast it out there. You don't know whether it's going to work or not. I was a Red Dog, and things were starting to get started up there, and I was seeing this young man over here in the blue shirt, and he's one of these guys. Back years ago, I used to read them newspaper funnies, you know, and there was a guy there that had a blanket, and he always had his head down, and he walked like this all the time, like he's kicking something. That's the way Wesley was. And I could see him, and one day I introduced myself to him, and what's your name? And he says, Wes. And it's easy for me to remember, because I got a good friend named Wes. This stuff is between Wes and the Lord. That Wes, not that one. So I said, I'll remember that. And so 4 o'clock in the morning, I go down for work. Wes is down there eating. I told you I wouldn't lie to you. I ain't lying to you. For a year, I'd see this guy every few hitches or whatever, not every day. But I would pray for him. And I never felt the urge to tell him about Jesus. Never felt the urge. One morning, I go down there, and Wes is eating his bowl of cereal. And it was Thursday morning, because he just flew in on the jet. And I seen him, and I sit down with him, and I was going to do the normal thing and eat my cereal or eat my breakfast, whatever I had there, and I hear this voice that says, "Now. It's time." You see, there's a time for things. God has a timing. Okay? Have you ever heard of front sliding? I know you all have heard of backsliding. You ever heard of front sliding? That's getting ahead of God. That's getting out there where you get your nose hurt. Okay? All right, well, not my first rodeo there, so I didn't want to front slide, so I'm just waiting. And when God said that, I kind of put my head up and I thought in my mind, really? Now? So I looked at him across the table and I says, "Wes," I says, "you know anything about the Lord?" And he stopped me and looked at me, his eyes got about that big round. And he said, "My wife, when she kissed me goodbye at the Red Dog Charter, she handed me a Bible and turned around and left." Now. So, I says, "Really?" I says, do you know anything about the Bible?" And he goes, "No." I said, "Would you like to?" "Yes." Well, that night we had Bible study, and we went and baptized him in Jesus' name. And he came out of the water speaking in that heavenly language, and it was awesome. Sorry to keep you standing so long. I'm sorry. But anyway, I went back to the room waiting for Wes to get there, and Wes come back to the room there because I had a Bible. I give a new Bible to everybody that get baptized and with our doctrine in front of it, and make sure they get that, take it with them. And I'm getting this ready for him, even though he's got a Bible. He's going to get another one. So he comes in, and he sits down, and all of a sudden he starts weeping, and he starts crying. And Brother Parrish, this ain't the happy guy I just left in the tank. This guy is wah. And he's hurt. And I'm going, "Whoa, new lesson here. Okay, Lord, what's up?" So I wait. Sometimes the best thing to do is just wait. So when he was done, and he got himself under control, I says, what's wrong, Matt? He goes, "My wife ain't going to want nothing to do with this." And I said, "Oh, Wes," I said, "don't give up on God so easily. Let's pray. Let's you and I bind together and let's pray for her." And we did, and we wept, and we cried together, and we prayed for Danita. And these guys were Skyping between Red Dog and Wasilla. If you don't know what that is, that's where you look at each other's face. And he didn't tell her about the Bible study or the baptism or the Holy Ghost. And she says, "What happened to you?" And finally, when he got guts enough to tell her, she said, "Well, whatever you got, I want." Now, you can trust that voice. You can trust the one that says, "Go witness to that guy with the tattoos and the holes in his ears." Brandon, God has got a work for you, son. God has a work for you. Somebody had to do that. Somebody had to have guts enough to do. Somebody had to cast some bread. Well, we met Tanita and Wes. They got up early. They live in Wasilla. My wife and I was going to Norvik, and they come to Anchorage, and I was in the Puffin Inn, and they got there at 6:30 in the morning or something like that. We had Bible study. At the end of the Bible study, man, she's repenting, and all of a sudden, I could sense it. I could feel it. It was now. Put my hand on her head. She got the Holy Ghost right there. I called Brother Herring up. I got him on the phone. I said, "You hear this?" She's there just speaking in tongues. I said, "Would you mind baptizing this one next Sunday?" Now. Now, Seth, God's got to work in your life, too. You're going to reach people and young people and minister to them. Nobody else here can. You listen to the voices telling you to do godly things. As long as you're not out of line with your pastor. And you do what, ain't no devil in hell going to tell you to go witness. Ain't no devil in hell going to tell a Holy Ghost-filled young man to lay hands on another young man. Come on now, somebody. Now, you got to trust that casting the bread thing, man. He's the living bread. He's the one that's got the life. Do you got him inside of you today? Is he part of your life? What's he telling you to do? Is he telling you to cast some bread? Maybe you got to get some of this stuff out of your future and stop worrying about that so much. Don't quit clapping. Don't quit clapping. That's the truth, too. Yes, it is. Oh, Jesus, I love you today. I praise you, God. I worship you. Amen. Now, I didn't ask if this was okay, and it was not, Brother Parrish. You just shut me down. But can we pray? All right. Thank you. You know, it's the morning service, but what good is a church service if we don't pray? Now, let me ask you a question. Are you feeling God drawing you somewhere to maybe a co-worker at work? I'm not talking about a village out in the middle of nowhere. I'm talking about somebody you're working with, somebody that God's trying, and you don't have guts enough to go do it. Or you think it's going to cost you something. It may cost you a little pride. It may cost you a lunch, a little of this bread. You know what? But to get the living bread in front of that person. You know what? Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need to ask God, was that really you? I hope I've helped you today, because you know what? No devil in hell is going to tell you to witness for Jesus Christ. No devil in hell is going to do that. I want us all just to come up here. Just come up here and gather up here, and let's pray a little bit together. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, what about this bread thing? What about casting this bread, Lord? Jesus, God, we need you today. God, hallelujah, there's some of us in here, Lord Jesus, that need help with our finances, God. There's some of us, Lord, that are so concerned about that, Jesus, that, God, we can't get our mind off of anything else. Oh, Jesus, I'm asking for deliverance, God, of that way of thinking. And that you are our king, and you own the cattle on all the hills, and you know where all the gold is hid. Hallelujah. You know where everything is, Lord. Oh, God, we just need to trust you, Jesus. We just need to lift our hand to you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.